all about her. Her body, her mind, her wellness, her sex, her relationships, her aging, her beauty. It's Her Radio. Starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson. And leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek.
Michelle, weren't we talking about this the other day when a bunch of our friends had noticed that during their pregnancies that they were having issues with thyroid disease? Do you remember that?
Yeah, and there's so many women too, Pam, who are talking about, you know, thyroid and reproduction, and particularly Hashimoto's disease, right? Which we're going to talk about today, which is so great, and it goes undiagnosed. So I'm so happy that we have our doctor with us today, which you'll be introducing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting, especially since we know the statistics. The American Thyroid Association, 10 to 20% of all pregnant women in their first trimester of pregnancy are positive for Hashimoto's antibodies. And it just goes on and on. It gets complex. And, well, to help us kind of wade through all of this is Dr. John Kouvaris. And we're so happy to have Dr. Kouvaris on Her Radio to help us understand what thyroid disease is, especially as it relates to pregnancy. He is a fertility specialist at IVF Phoenix and leads the wonderful experience team at one of Arizona's top infertility treatment centers. He's a board-certified reproductive endocrinologist. And we just can't wait to hear you try to make it simple for our HER listeners who want to understand the relationship between thyroid disease and pregnancy. Dr. Kouvaris, welcome to HER Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me. Hi, Michelle. Good to see you again. Or hear you
again. Too. Yes, you too. We're so thrilled to have you today. So let's talk about what is Hashimoto's disease, number one, because people don't know.
Well, in the old days, when docs had a chance to do things, they could put their names on it. And about 1912, a Japanese doctor in Vienna, he diagnosed this thing, and he called it Hashimoto's thyroiditis. I'd love to have something called Kouvaris something, but it's not
going to happen. I love it.
So Hashimoto's, I know, don't we all wish?
Yeah.
But Hashimoto's was really, he took biopsies, and he said, listen, there's a bunch of white cells that are invading the thyroid tissue, and they look like if they sit there too long, they're going to eat up the tissue and scar it and cause it to fibrose and then essentially die off. And then you don't have a good thyroid, and you don't make good thyroid hormone, and that was the end stage. And that was the old days. And in this day and age, you were talking about antibodies. And you know, today we don't biopsy everybody. We listen to the story, we draw some labs, and we say, you're feeling bad, you sound like you have a hypothyroid state, which we can discuss. And maybe if we check and you have antibodies that are thyroid peroxidase or other types of antibodies and thyroid function tests are abnormal, you know what? This sounds like Hashimoto's in its early stage. And it's really called a lymphocytic thyroiditis. Now, low thyroid is one of those quirky things that happens all over the world, and most people get it because they don't have a lot of iodine. But here in the developed countries like the North Americas, we get plenty of iodine. So the most common form of Hashimoto's or low thyroid would be Hashimoto's. And it's really one of those quirky things that happens in more in women, 7 times more likely in women than in men.
Really?
And when we, yeah. So you start thinking, wow, fibromyalgia is kind of the same thing too. And interestingly enough, we have these connections with Hashimoto's, which we like to call an autoimmune disease, and other inflammatory immune diseases like celiac disease, fibromyalgia, type 1 diabetes, and lo and behold, reproduction, infertility.
Well, now let's go to reproduction. So when a woman is diagnosed with this during her pregnancy, number one, why does pregnancy increase the incidence, you know, the immune suppression, the rest of it? And the other one is, what's the relationship between this and miscarriage?
Okay. If a woman gets diagnosed once she's pregnant, most people are going to look at this and say, we just need to keep our eye on thyroid. The problem that we do know is that the connection is what I would call ambiguous. It is an association, meaning they happen together, but we don't know if there's any cause or effect between the two. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's like the guy standing outside of the bank isn't the guy who is robbing the bank, even though a person who took a picture shows the bank robber and the panhandler standing next to each other. They have no association other than relationship, other than they happen to be at the bank together. So most of us in conventional medicine would argue we don't have a defined explanation as to how this is working. Although, if you push me, I can tell you exactly what I think. And I think there is a very defined relationship between virus and Hashimoto's and adverse pregnancy outcomes.
Well, oh, I'm not surprised you just said that. Oh, yeah.
So virus
I agree.
Meaning what, John? What do you mean by
viruses? Well, just see, when we talk autoimmune, it's described by everybody saying, well, one day your body woke up and said, I'm going to attack myself. And I've been arguing for 20 years, I have never seen Hashimoto's thyroiditis without the presence of a virus called human herpes 6 virus, which is a cousin to chickenpox. And it's a super common virus. We all will get it over time. Its other cousin is mono. Another cousin is herpes simplex 1 or 2. There are 9 human herpes type viruses. And people get them, and once you get a herpes virus, they're in you forever. And
that's it.
They can,
That's it. They're there forever, and that triggers
they're there
that,
forever.
You think?
Up until about a year ago, everybody said autoimmune, and now people are starting to suggest what I've been saying for a while, which is it looks like there's an association with human herpes 6. It has a real predilection to go into that thyroid and squat, and it squats on that thyroid, and it injures thyroid, and the thyroid starts to break down, and then I would argue what we're dealing with is a repair mechanism. This isn't an autoantibody destroying it out of no reason. This is the body saying, hey, that virus hurt me, I've got damaged cells, grab hold of the good stuff, haul it away, we'll rebuild the cells if we can. Let me give you an analogy. If we went to Florida, and I looked there and I go, wow, these are the most aggressive roofers. There's a roofer on every house, stripping shingles and throwing it to the ground. They're making the biggest mess. You guys need to put a ban on roofers because they're just destroying everything. And people who live there would tell me, you don't know the full picture. You didn't recognize that we had a horrible hurricane last week and all of those houses got damaged and they're fixing. And I'm going to go, great, now I understand it. Here, what I'm trying to say is the viruses started the process. They altered the immune system, and they allowed the immune system to try to repair it. And all those white cells are trying to stop a virus, but they're unable. And that virus then keeps making things worse, and the immune system keeps chasing it. Ultimately, you get damage, and more damage trying to repair the damage.
Right.
If you ever try to remodel, it's a catastrophe. And so,
okay, so Dr. Kavaris, you know, what we have then, you know, and to summarize here is your hypothesis is it's actually, you know, caused and related to a virus, which I think is absolutely fascinating and probably, you know, really needs to be delved into more deeply by everyone. And I think it's incredibly important out there. You said something important, so important at the beginning, and that is every woman out there needs to be followed closely when she's starting to have symptoms, etc. I think it's very important that she has a good relationship with her, you know, provider, her OBGYN throughout the pregnancy. Watch carefully, and the blood tests are so important as well as the treatment. Thank you so much, Dr. John Kavaris, who is a fertility specialist at IVF Phoenix, and I can't thank you enough for helping us understand why it is that this takes place in 10-20% of women with pregnancy. All of us at Her Radio, thank you, Dr. Kavaris. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King Robeson. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and stay well.